The latest nursing news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future. This is Nursing Notes Live. Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-newsletter, Nursing Notes, which offers the latest industry news, trends, and updates in nursing. You can subscribe to the e-newsletter at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes issue is accompanied by select few episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which expands on the content and provides you greater insights into the topics presented in the e-newsletter. You can listen to previous podcasts on the Nursing Notes by Johnson & Johnson Facebook page or visit iTunes to subscribe to the podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. In the program this month, Nursing Notes Live delves into the role of the rural nurse and how they bring care to remote communities of patients around the country. In our panel discussion this month, I chat with Pamela Stewart Foss, holder of the Dr. G. Clifford and Florence B. Decker Endowed Chair in Rural Nursing at Binghamton University, and editor-in-chief for the Online Journal of Rural Nursing and Healthcare. And Audrey Snyder, an assistant professor of nursing at the University of Virginia and nurse coordinator for community outreach at UVA Health System. Here's that discussion on the role of the rural nurse. Hi, and welcome both of you to Nursing Notes Live. One of the things I like to do at the beginning of each of these interviews is just ask you each to briefly share your background in nursing. Why did you become a nurse, and what led you through your career path to where you are today? Audrey, why don't you go first?
My experience with healthcare started with my grandmother being cared for in our home for about 9 years. She was in a hospital bed and required nursing care that was provided by public health and home health nurses as well as the family. And I learned a lot about nursing before I became a nurse. And that really is what influenced me to take that career path. My background has been mostly in emergency critical care flight until about the last 10 years when I really began to identify a lot of the issues in the emergency department of reasons why patients were continuing to come back or why patients were coming in and being critically ill and having to be admitted to an ICU. And a lot of them focused on patients just not getting access to health care. And if a patient may have seen a physician yesterday or last month or 3 months ago or even last year, they may not be in the shape they are in at this admission or at this time for us to actually have to admit them. So I have evolved in my work to focus more on access to care and how patients receive that care and trying to work with underserved areas. I'm currently teaching at the University of Virginia, and I'm working with a nurse-managed clinic to actually improve access to care, especially in regards to cardiovascular disease and pulmonary disease for patients. And we're also using that clinic as a site for our students who are going into predominantly family nurse practitioner as an educational degree. And I also now work in a community hospital that's in a rural area, part-time as a hospitalist as well.
Fantastic. And Pam, go ahead.
Well, I started in nursing about 30 years ago. I grew up in southeastern Kentucky, Harlan County, a small coal mining area. And I probably became interested in nursing because of the nurse that worked in our local clinic. She was an African-American woman who was very well versed in nursing, and I think the first thing that really attracted me to her role was how professional she looked when she went to work every day. You know, back in those days, they wore the blue cape and the white uniform, and I was very impressed with that. But then over the years, as I grew up in that community, I saw how she actually functioned in the clinic, and she became a manager of the clinic. So she went from being a staff nurse to actually managing most of the patient care that occurred in that clinic. When I I had a very disconnected path into nursing. I was a high school dropout and was in radio for a while and did a lot of odd jobs. When I was 26, I decided I really needed to do something with my life, and I kind of always thought about nursing and looked into getting into nursing and wound up going back and getting my associate degree and then my bachelor's and my master's. And finally, I finished my doctorate at the University of Alabama in Birmingham in 1991. During the time that I was beginning in nursing, one of my first jobs was in a small Appalachian regional hospital, one of the mining hospitals. And one of the things that attracted me about rural healthcare and rural nursing was the generalist aspect of the nurse, that you had to be able to do a little bit of everything and do it well to be successful in rural nursing. And I have continued to work with rural communities and rural nursing in many different ways. I primarily teach now, but my research is focused on rural women and cardiovascular disease. And I've worked with the University of Virginia. We finished a grant about 2 years ago on promoting heart health in rural women. And I went down to Orange County, Virginia, and Delaware County, New York, and we looked at how to reduce women's risk for cardiovascular disease. I currently work with a community group in Delaware County, which is one of our most rural counties here in upstate New York, and we're working on looking at what are the priority health needs for people that live in that rural county. And as in many rural counties, health needs that are that come to the forefront often have to do with issues of access, chronic care, mental health promotion, and substance abuse. And those are some of the areas that I'm working in currently. And then I teach in the only PhD in rural nursing program in the country here at Binghamton University.
That's exciting, Pam. And I think what I'll do is lead into you, because you are teaching at that particular PhD program. Nurses have traditionally and historically been involved with care on the fringes of larger society and in the frontiers. And that tradition seems to be continuing, with the focus of nurses being so actively involved in healthcare in the rural communities here in the United States and elsewhere around the world. Do you see what you do as a continuation of the history of nursing?
I do. I think that one of our strong historical links is to public health nursing and community nursing, and I see that as very important in rural communities. I personally have also worked on more acute care types of settings and been in dialysis and worked in critical care and cardiovascular, that type of setting. But in rural communities, oftentimes nurses wear many hats. And one of the things that I see that occurs, as Audrey was saying, is that you have a group of people who have less access to health care. And once you get them into the system, getting the best care possible is critical. And I think that's one of the things. As nurses, we're very good at using scarce resources in a wise way. And I think that's one reason rural nurses are so effective.
Audrey, what are your thoughts? And certainly you're actively involved in healthcare in a rural setting. And certainly there are opportunities for us to serve so many people in so many different ways, that multidisciplinary approach that rural nurses are bringing.
I think that's very true. And one area that I feel is kind of beginning to blossom, and we need to ensure that rural nurses get training in this area, is in the use of telemedicine, because many areas lack specialty providers. There's a lack of overall general primary care providers, whether they be physicians or nurse practitioners many times. But there's also a lack of specialty providers. And if we can have that initial specialty consultation or follow-up consultations done by telemedicine, then a nurse working in a rural area is very instrumental in having the technology training, being able to troubleshoot the equipment, and to work with the patient to be the eyes and hands kind of with the patient, with the specialist on the other end of the video and audio technology, so that they can adjust cameras, provide vital signs or other information that the specialty consultant would need in working with that patient. And so that's beginning to be seen as another way that we can increase access to specialty care for those people who are living in rural areas and saving them the time and distance traveled as well.
And I think that's a critical piece. Transportation is a huge issue in rural communities, and if we can get telemedicine to work in an effective manner, I think it could be an answer to a lot of our problems. There are issues out there with telemedicine that need to be solved in rural communities. There is varying amounts of access depending on the rural community that you're in. Now, healthcare settings and education sites have the best access in rural communities, but it's still a challenge in some areas. And the aging of technology, and when you put a lot of money and time into equipment, and then how well is it utilized has been an issue over the years, too. And then the final issue, I think, is particularly if you're in rural areas that cross state lines, are the issues of state licensure for practicing that we need to be aware of and need to address. But I do think that it's an area where nursing can have a large impact, and we really need to be leaders in advocating for telehealth in rural communities.
Audrey, what are some of the key challenges you see facing that educational curve? I mean, I know when I talk to a lot of nurses, especially even about what I do recording this program, we are an aging profession, and certainly there's some technophobia, if you will, associated with learning new technologies. Does that extend into health technologies as well?
I believe it does, and I think that a key piece of it is, one, anytime something's new, and there's unfamiliarity, there's a learning curve. So that means that education programs have to really focus on considering the learner. So our young nurses who are out of school in the most recent years, they are ones who adapt to that technology really rapidly. But for our nurses who may have done their first paper in school on a typewriter, they may have more difficulty. Although the concept of an electronic medical or electronic health record for all persons in the United States means that almost all areas are now going to an electronic health record. So nurses have to have some familiarity with computers and computer systems. And I think that it's the key is the education programs and having resources, whether that's there's written instructions that are with the technology, and having someone maybe who's on call at a distance who can help troubleshoot is really important. And so as those relationships are built with referral centers, having those relationships be where that there is someone that they can call and say, I can't make this work, or the screen's blank, what else can I try, those sorts of things. And we all know that technology has the potential for failure. That's inherent in the world that we live in today, but more often than not, it does work. And if we can just get people feeling comfortable, of course, the more encounters they have with doing that, it's important. There is a program that's been developed at the University of Virginia WISE, which is a small rural Southwest Virginia community, where that they were able to get grant funding to put telemedicine connections within their learning lab. And as the students are in school in their undergraduate nursing program, they are being exposed to how the technology works and doing simulated patient scenarios so that they can get comfortable with the equipment that they will carry with them wherever they go to work. This exposure to actually using the technology and understanding the full concepts as to how telehealth can work and be beneficial for the patients.
And this is Pam. The issues with technology, I think, Audrey, as you mentioned, having technical support is critical to anyone, but particularly if people have some discomfort with the level of technology, it can be a real buffer and make the telehealth more usable. Many nursing programs, though, are using more and more electronic lab simulations. So I believe as our students continue through their educational process, they're going to become more and more familiar with the electronic medical record and using technology. And nurses are very educable. Many of us, you know, who have been around for a long period of time have learned new types of technology over a period of time. And with support, it's certainly doable. One of the things that I wanted to stress is that using the provider in the rural community, that nurse in that setting, as a liaison with the telemedicine is going to make the client or the patient more comfortable, because that is one of the strengths of rural nursing, is that you have that familiarity with your community and they have a familiarity with you. So it can really be very helpful to the patient if they're having to talk to someone at a distance or a specialist. That nurse that's there supporting that interaction through telehealth can also support the individual and their family through the normal nursing care that they would provide in that rural setting.
What about the patient population in the rural setting? There's a lot of research out there, but primarily I think that research comes from urban centers and large metropolitan areas. Pam, is there a difference between the rural patient and patients in other parts of the system?
Well, I think we all have cultural aspects to our lives, and that rurality can be part of the cultural aspect. But you know, if you look at somebody who's in rural Alaska, that's very different than somebody who's in rural Kentucky versus rural upstate New York. There are some things that are the same across the board, but there are differences also. So you really have to look at the individual, what their culture is, what they're comfortable with. I think most of the research that's been done in rural healthcare shows that some of the strengths are that familiarity within communities, the community support that's available. It's a more personalized type of support. The fact that the rural nurse is a generalist, has a broad view of nursing and healthcare and can intervene in different ways can be very helpful. There are some detractors from that, too. The isolation, the transportation, the difficulty getting to care. We know that rural clients who are under the age of 65 can have less access to health care for various reasons. There are different health care problems in rural and urban settings, but overall, many of our health care issues, our chronic health care issues, are really socioeconomic status issues. So lack of education, low socioeconomic status, not enough employment in the area. All those actually play into worsening health outcomes, whether you're in a rural area or you're in an urban setting. If you have those kinds of factors going on, it's a detractor to your health.
Audrey, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think at the same time, there is the concept that everybody knows each other in a rural community. And so a person, if they fear repercussions from whatever their symptoms are, what the potential diagnosis might be. They may put off getting going in to get care. For example, if this was a patient who was afraid that they may have been exposed to the HIV virus, and there's a lot of stigma associated with that, they may delay getting care. There's also lots of other reasons why people may delay getting care. Many times we've worked with women in particular, and women in the rural environment, especially in Appalachia, will take care of their children, their husband, everyone else before they'll take care of themselves. And so they put off self-care in order to care for others, especially when there's a cost factor associated with it. At the same time, what you find in rural areas is that people many times are very self-reliant, and they are less likely sometimes to go to the emergency department to get care for something that's more minor. They'll self-treat, or they may use home remedies, or they may use herbal therapies prior to actually going in to actually talk with a physician and seek out other care. They'll try other things first. They also are great, and this is not just our patients, but healthcare providers working in the rural area, as Pam mentioned earlier, are very creative. They are really good at being self-reliant, seeking out resources, working together to have better outcomes. And you know, some of the concepts of public health are that you look to the community itself. And so with work that I do with our research, we always go to the community and let the healthcare providers in the community and the patients in the community talk about what their needs are and what they see as potential solutions to those needs. And that's a key piece, kind of that participatory action and participatory research that we try to do.
I would agree. That's a key piece that I find in my practice in cardiovascular disease in rural women, is that two of those points you touched on, women taking care of other people first, and then the piece about having community-based participatory research or action in healthcare is critical. The other thing I want to add is that one thing that technology may add for nurses is there is a potential for professional isolation in rural nursing, and technology can help in that area too, because even if a system has money to send a rural nurse for further education or workshops or training, they may not have the coverage to allow them to go. There's sometimes a risk if someone leaves a rural community to further their formal education, they won't come back. And so using technology to advance professional education, I think, is critical. And I'm the editor of a journal, the Online Journal of Rural Nursing and Healthcare. And there's a article by Williams in the 2012, volume 12, that talks about professional isolation and rural nursing that I think rural nurses might be very interested in.
How do we encourage more nurses to move into the rural setting? We talk all the time, I know on my programs and other places, about the shortage of nurses, and yet in some major metropolitan areas, that's absolutely not the case. There are plenty of nurses in some places, but there is a shortage of nurses, especially in rural areas. How do we encourage our new nurses, our young nurses, to want to move into that setting?
Well, I think we have to let them know what rural nursing is, provide preceptorships and learning experiences in rural communities. One of the real strengths of having a rural educational experience as a nurse is you get to see firsthand that collaborative process in rural healthcare, and you get to appreciate that. And then putting programs into effect that will allow us to educate nurses in place and allow nurses to advance their education, again, probably using technology, is going to be our best bet for keeping nurses in rural settings. I do think there has to be some, you know, support that you can make a good living in a rural setting, but that's usually not the reason people leave. There are usually other reasons that people leave the rural setting. It's usually not because of the money. And this oversupply, this temporary bubble that we have in urban settings, may be a good opportunity to bring nurses into more rural settings. I've worked quite a bit with Idaho State University and their nurse residency programs that they're using out west in rural settings. And that, of course, was highlighted by the Leadership in Nursing, Robert Wood Johnson, an IOM report, as a key way to improve the nursing practice of nurses is to use residency programs. And I think that's a good way to get them into rural settings and support them as they begin their practice in rural settings.
An additional thing I think that we can do while nurses are in training is to actually expose them to the rural area. So if there are opportunities with outreach clinics, with rural health clinics, to actually get them that exposure, because if we know that where a health professional grows up is where they usually will return to most likely, unless there's something that intervenes there. So if someone grows up in a rural area, they're more likely to go back to a rural area. The challenge is that there's a lower population in the rural area, so there's less number of people actually going into health professions. So we do need to supplement that by people who don't grow up in a rural area. So if we can have this person who's grown up in an urban environment for their life during their training to get this exposure to the rural environment and to see some of the benefits and understand the challenges and how nursing can make a difference with those challenges, I think sometimes we light that spark for students to be able to choose that as a location to practice.
Audrey, any final thoughts to a nurse or student nurse out there thinking of looking at rural nursing as a career path?
Well, I think that they need the exposure. And one of the things that my students have reported back to us on is how much more time they get to spend with the patients when we're doing clinics in a rural environment, and the appreciation for how much a patient will reveal about themselves and about their challenges. At the same time, the gratification that the providers and the students receive, because many times these patients are just profusely thankful that you've been there to provide them with care. And that exposure many times, I think, makes a difference for our students.
Pam?
I would agree. Those are critical points. I do think that highlighting that the rural nurse is a consummate generalist and is well respected in the rural community and often is a leader in a rural community can help bring more people into rural nursing. But getting those clinical experiences in rural areas, getting residency programs in rural areas where people actually get to have that experience is critical. And I would add that if nurses are interested in rural nursing, if they go to rno.org, it's the Rural Nurse Organization, our journal is open source journal, so it's free to everyone. We have a lot of manuscripts that address rural nursing from many different perspectives and will, I think, be a good resource to rural nurses wherever they're practicing.
Make sure you check out the entire 2013 issue of Nursing Notes, looking at nursing in rural areas. You can read the entire issue online at www.discovernursing.com. And don't miss the other Nursing Notes live episode this month, where I interview our get-to-know nurse, Laurie Gross. You'll find this and other podcast episodes at the Nursing Notes by Johnson & Johnson Facebook page and in the podcast area in iTunes. Nursing Notes Live is produced for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future by Medicast Productions. All rights reserved.